Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Steiny and Guru.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Matt Steinmetz along with Evan Giddings today. Evan Giddings, you taking care of some business.
What's up, Steiny?
Shut up. Don't say a word. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's what I look forward to on a Monday.
Yeah. A little different kind of Monday today. Niners didn't play yesterday. But I think if you're a Niner fan, you're probably pretty pleased with what went on this weekend. They had the Seahawks got beat. The Cardinals got beat in tight ball games. So the rest of the division went 0-3. If you count the Rams loss against the 49ers on Thursday, Niners now in first place in the NFC West. If it matters, the Eagles lose. So the Niners and the Eagles are both 4-1. Bills lose. But pretty good weekend if you're a Niner fan, right?
Depends on how you look at it. I mean, there are no more undefeateds, so the Niners are one of the 6-4-1 teams. You know, we can have some fun with those power rankings a little bit later in the show, but I do wonder if some people are feeling like there's no doubt that the division results are good for the Niners. They're a game clear of both the Rams, the Seahawks, the Cardinals. Good Lord. I don't know if you saw what happened in that game, but they don't deserve, honestly, time on the station today. But they've also gone 3-0 in the division. That's a fantastic result. But from the macro view of how great the win was on Thursday, I was left feeling a little like, well, the Patriots got an equally, if not bigger, win. The Broncos went into Philly and knocked off an undefeated team, coming back from down 14 points, mind you. Does that leave you feeling like it devalues the win on Thursday at all?
Not really.
Like, on Friday morning, I thought that was the win of the season. And now after Sunday, after watching a full slate of games, I'm like, well, it's probably the second or third best win of the season.
Yeah, I think in its totality, and this season has already been pretty strange for the Niners. And I mean, I can't look at them any other way than they're 4-1, and they've won 5 one-score games. I'm not sure how good they are, but I don't think they could ask to be in a better position than they are right now. Obviously, with some injury things aside, but you got a long week now to get ready for Tampa Bay. I guess are what you saying is that some of maybe the Bills and the Eagles aren't the clear-cut favorites we thought they were?
No, I'm just saying I thought it was interesting that the three teams that I have either close to the top or at the very top, like the Rams, the Eagles, and the Bills, teams that looked like they were the best teams, they all lost this weekend.
Gotcha.
You know, and there's been some other groups that look like they're completely falling off the wagon. Like Baltimore is a team that is a win away from maybe missing the playoffs. I don't know, but it just felt to me, Steiny, like going into Friday morning, the Niners beat the Rams. They're on top of the NFC West. They do it with an unbelievable performance from Mac Jones. And here I sit 72 hours later, and I'm feeling like, is that really as good of a win as we made it out to be on Friday? Because I think the Patriots, that was the first time Buffalo had lost at home since 2023. Philadelphia had won, what, 20 of 21 games in a row dating back to last year? Like, those are teams that do not lose at home. Meanwhile, the Rams were a field goal away from being undefeated, but still, like, I don't know how 49ers fans felt watching all those upsets yesterday.
I kind of feel like, you know, it's week five, and, you know, the Eagles were winning. They haven't looked great. They were kind of due. As for the Bills, I watched that game last night. You know, they didn't look great, but I just feel like this is where I think about the season being long. And I get it's every week's a different game, but when you have 17 games, you know, they're still not even a third of the way through the schedule. And I just think the best team in the league is going to lose at least three games, I feel like, even if they are the best team in the league. And it's just because there's parity and the season is so long that there are going to be upsets. Because 17 games to me is almost like more than a season and a half, almost. If you like look at it from the college standpoint. And it's just, it's going to be tough to lose, or it's going to be tough to win 15 games. So I think the best team in the league is going to have three or four losses. And right now, the 49ers at least are in that group that can have that kind of season right now.
Yeah, but I think the Niners have, like, they've gotten the juice out of everything. And they've gotten the squeeze out of everything the first five games. Like, the fact that they're 4-1 is pretty ridiculous. I mean, I think they're the story of the first five games of the season, to be honest. I know the Colts are a team that has the best point differential. Daniel Jones is someone that was thrown away, and the Colts are maybe, to some people's estimation, they've come out of nowhere. But I think through five games, the Niners have been the story of the NFL with what they've been able to accomplish, primarily with a backup quarterback. But I just found it interesting that so many different things happened on Thursday night that could have led to defeat for the Niners. And all of that stuff also happened to the Eagles and the Bills. The Bills had three turnovers, a couple of which early in that football game that allowed New England to hang in there. The Eagles had, gosh, it felt like every single call either go against them or they just didn't make a play down the stretch of that game. And I just found it interesting that to all three of those teams, they got knocked off by squads that on paper are not better than them.
The one thing that I will, that I think you got to take into account for the Niners, and it's over the course of 17 games, I think their schedule's relatively easy. We know that. However, if you look at the first five games, I think the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Rams are all pretty good. Like, they're not bad teams. So those, you know, I think before the season we'd go in and we'd say, well, you know, you beat the Cardinals, you should expect to beat the Cardinals. I think those are five games into the season, it looks like the NFC West is pretty good. And so that's the other thing. Like, I now have to say they've beaten three pretty good teams. You know, even though later in this season, the schedule eases up a little bit.
Who's the third team?
The three teams in the league, in the division.
You think the Cardinals are good?
3-2, right? They peed away a game yesterday.
They did.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Cardinals are all right. Do you think they're terrible?
I don't think they're very good.
They might win eight games.
I mean, they've beaten the Saints, the Panthers, and who else? Another bad team? I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that there's a clear delineation between the three teams we're talking about, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Niners, and then the Cardinals. But that's just me.
All right.
I mean, I guess they are a drop ball at the goal line away from being not 3-2.
Well, they're also a dropped pass away from being 5-0. If DeMarcado catches that ball against the 49ers, right, where he's going
They're also 3-2. I apologize.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if they've beaten three teams that all have winning records, which is going to go a long way as the season goes on, because they're already 3-0 in the division, and they have a chance to have the tiebreaker over all three teams, depending on how things go later on in this season. So, you know, the other thing we got to factor in here, and I don't know how we do it, is how do you measure these wins considering how banged up the San Francisco 49ers are? You know, how do you factor that in? That's made it a lot more surprising, there's no doubt about it. But does it mean that the staying power may not be able to last as long? But 49ers didn't play, but it was a big weekend of NFL football. Did anything that happened this weekend change the way you look at this San Francisco 49ers team? Bills lose, Eagles lose. You feel like the NFL's maybe more wide open than it has been, and the Niners have action. They're in first place in the NFC West. 888-957-9570 is the number. Then we got to get into what's going on with Mac Jones and Brock Purdy and how Kyle Shanahan handles the quarterback situation on Sunday against the Bucks. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky, and football season is here, and that means Baldy, Brian Baldinger, every Tuesday, 7:30 all season long. Baldy! Now back to Steiny and Goo, who always bring that heat. Well, at least most of the time.
All right, thanks, Joe Shasky. Appreciate it. And 49ers idle yesterday. Warriors played their first preseason game. We'll get into that a little later. Big win over the Lakers. Played 17 guys. They're probably going to have to shorten that once the regular season comes along.
Who, the Lakers or the Warriors?
The Warriors. No, Lakers didn't play anybody.
Well, you got to get the C-dubs their time. You know, you got to get some guys with room. By the way, I buried the lead. Shout out to everybody who showed up to Pier 39 on Saturday.
Oh.
It was an awesome time. Myself, Guru, TJ set up everything, Nahagian, Lucas. We had Kieran showed up, Megan McCray.
Oh, nice.
Everyone showed up, and it was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful day. Had a bunch of great guests come by. It was an awesome 4 hours.
Yeah, and it kind of bleeded over into Sunday, believe it or not.
How so?
Well, you know, you mentioned Kieran, and that's who I refer to as the big boss. There's Nahegan, and then there's the big boss, which is Kieran.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because she's got she's in charge of all five stations.
Sure.
So apparently she was out there. And my buddy Dan was out there, and Dan knows Kieran's husband. So Dan invites Kieran's husband to play golf with us yesterday. So I played golf with Kieran, the big boss's husband, yesterday.
So the show didn't bleed into Sunday. You just played golf with someone you hadn't met before.
Well, I'd met him one other time.
So were you nervous?
No, but I had to be on my best behavior.
Watch your language.
Yes. Couldn't talk any shop.
Didn't drink as much as you usually do.
Not really. It's like, hey, Sonny, how things going at work? Is Tom around? Yeah, he's there. I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, man, I've never been happier at work. Great. It's just the leadership at Odyssey is just unbelievable, Dan. There was a lot of that.
His name's Todd.
It's Tom.
Tom?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Back to the Niners.
Sorry, Kieran.
Who do you start Sunday?
Mac Jones.
What if Purdy's healthy?
I'm assuming he's not.
Okay.
Or that he's as healthy as he was against Jacksonville, because that's what happened last time, where he was. I think there's got to be a difference between healthy enough to play and 100%. And I think what Mac Jones has shown you that you don't need to rush Brock Purdy back. Like, seriously, this guy's won 3 games. Why not just give him an opportunity to win another one? Now, Tampa Bay's pretty good. I mean, they've won 4 games in the last, you know, minute, but they're obviously a good football team. But I think that Mac Jones has earned the right to start.
Yeah, and I'm usually the person who says, you know, the circumstances shouldn't decide if a player plays. But I do think the circumstances can kind of funnel you in a direction. And I'm with you. I mean, if Brock Purdy, I don't know how you measure the foot and the toe, but I wouldn't put him out there until I thought he was 100% and there were no limitations on him. And if Mac Jones continues to win and the Niners continue to win, I do think you can continue to be cautious with it. You start losing a game here or there, maybe you change your mind, but I see no benefit in going to Brock Purdy right now if he's anything less than 100%, unless you're telling me that Mac Jones is really banged up from the Rams game and he may be limited. Then I don't know what you do.
Well, what do you make of, like, Mac Jones? I mean, he was a gladiator in that game. He was clearly battling a lot. The knee is dry heaving on the sideline. Like, he went through hell to win that football game, but I don't think he'll be 100% either.
Well, no, I don't either. But my question to you is this. When you see Mac Jones quarterbacking and he puts on a performance like he did against the Rams, do you worry about him getting hurt further?
No, because he's your backup.
Okay, because I kind of do a little bit.
You're worried about Mac Jones.
Well, what I'm starting to and this is, I kind of said this on Friday, is I'm starting to think the way this could go is you play Mac Jones for a couple weeks, then Purdy comes back. But you're going to have to see what you have in Purdy after he plays a game again. And if, like, he played a game and now he's sat for 2, so when if and when he's ready, I think you bring him back if Mac Jones is still not healthy. What I'm getting at is, I want to keep Mac Jones healthy. I really do, because I'm now not convinced that Purdy is going to be healthy all year. So my goal is to keep them both healthy. That doesn't mean I can't play one of them if they're not 100%, but that would be the goal. Because I'm not convinced that Purdy is going to be able to respond like we need him to after he plays a week or two in a row.
But how do you keep both of them healthy?
You just hope.
You play Adrian Martinez?
You hope. But I think if Purdy, like, if Mac Jones goes down, then you have to rely on Purdy all season long with a turf toe that evidence has shown was hard to bounce back from when he played a game earlier in the year.
But then this begs the question, which one are you trying to preserve more? In my mind, it's obviously Brock Purdy. That's actually why I would start Mac Jones until he loses a game, honestly. Each game that you can bank, if he wins, is a game that gets you closer to the postseason, closer to potentially winning the division, and one game that allows Brock Purdy in another week just to heal and rest his turf toe. But, like, I'm sorry. If you're the backup quarterback, that's your job. Like, you're in because the starter's not healthy. To me, it doesn't work the other way around where you're just going to, what, alternate weeks? Like, you have to pick a guy.
You do. Well, you might not have the luxury of picking a guy, is all I'm saying. And so Purdy plays, sits. I feel like you have to allow him. He's going to get another shot to play. But then what if he plays and he feels the same way he does after the Jacksonville game? Like, again, I'm not here saying we've got to protect Mac Jones. I'm just saying that Mac Jones right now is not your run-of-the-mill backup quarterback. It feels like they can still reach some of their goals with Mac Jones. So if Mac Jones gets hurt, like I'll just be honest, the idea of like Purdy running the table and playing 10 straight weeks with one bye week, let's say, thrown in there if he comes back after Tampa Bay, I want him to get back into that lineup with Mac Jones still relatively healthy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, and that to me sounds like wishful thinking. Like this idea that you're just going to be able to kind of flip a coin in one week, have one guy play, and then if he's not feeling 100%, you preserve him by playing the other guy. Like, I'm playing Mac Jones until Brock Purdy is 100%. And then he is my starting quarterback. But I have the luxury of having the best backup in football that's already won me three games. But the moment that Brock Purdy is 100%, which I don't believe he will be by Sunday, judging by the fact that, I mean, this turf toe is, Ian Rappaport reported 2 to 5 weeks. So that would have taken them through week six, which would actually be the week after this Tampa Bay game. That to me is kind of what I'm looking at. Like, if I can buy Brock Purdy an extra 2 weeks of rest with Mac Jones, I'm willing to sacrifice him. Does that make sense? And what it sounds like you're saying is, well, I can't afford to lose both. Like you're looking at him as the same.
No. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Purdy played against the Seahawks, then he had to miss two games. Then he played against Jacksonville, and now he missed the Rams game.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to miss.
Well, we don't know, but he may.
Okay. And here's what I'm saying is, we've had Brock Purdy play, bad reaction, play, bad reaction.
Yeah.
So what really to me is important is that we get Mac Jones, we keep him as healthy as we can till we get Purdy back.
Well, then start Adrian Martinez.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't want to lose Brock Purdy right now, because then I got no buffer for when Purdy comes. And I'm not saying don't play him. I'm just saying you got to keep this guy healthy, because I think we have one more iteration of Brock Purdy coming back. And the two times he's tried to come back this year haven't gone well. So I would feel a lot better if when Brock Purdy came back, Mac Jones was still upright, so that if he needs a week or two after, then we realize we've got a big issue with this toe, but at least we've got Mac Jones. Like, I think it puts, if you don't have Mac Jones, I would worry about Brock Purdy playing 10 straight games, 10
well,
straight
well,
weeks.
If you lose both quarterbacks, you're done for. I mean, it's like that. Sonny, the fact that they've been able to win games with a backup is already an outlier.
But that's kind of what I'm saying is, I don't think teams expect to win if they're going to use a backup for an extended period of time. I think the 49ers feel like they could win games with their backup if the backup's got to play a fair amount.
Sure.
So all I'm saying is, I believe Mac Jones gives the 49ers a crack at it if Purdy's injury is more serious than we think. And so that's why I think he's a more important backup than some other teams. I mean, you know, look what happened to the Ravens, obviously, this weekend without Jackson. So I just...
But what it sounds like you're saying to me, and I could be wrong hearing you, but what it sounds like is you almost would rather play Brock Purdy this week to give Mac Jones rest.
Well,
He's going to have to play at some point down the line.
I feel like...
Which sounds to me like you're saying you would rather preserve Mac Jones's health than Brock Purdy's.
I'd really like to preserve them both.
What if that's not an option?
Well, then you got to live with one.
And which one are you trying to preserve?
What I'm saying is, we have no way of knowing how Brock Purdy's toe is going to feel on Saturday and how that compares with prior to week one and prior to week four. Like, if Brock Purdy says, "This my toe feels better than it has all season," he's got to play, right?
If he says it's felt better than it has all season.
Yes.
No.
Really?
He doesn't have to play.
Oh, okay.
Because it also felt better than it did before the Jacksonville game.
I guess
game.
My question is, how will we ever know, or they'll ever know, if 1 week rest is good, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or 9.
What I'm trying to avoid is Brock Purdy re-aggravating his toe injury every time he plays a football game.
And that's why...
That's why I would rest him this weekend against Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Because if he re-aggravates his toe again... Like, Ross Tucker said it last week with you guys. It was a bad look for him to go back in, get hurt, and then miss the next game. Okay, what if that happens a second time? Then I got to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing with your quarter? Do you value his health? Because, and I realize guys got to play through stuff. There's injuries. People get banged up. But for you to get hurt multiple times in one season, it just makes me feel like your medical staff is simply rushing you back and they don't know what they're doing.
Well, I feel like whenever Brock comes back, whether it's Tampa Bay the week after or 2 weeks after, how he reacts to that first game coming back is going to determine a lot of the second half of the season, I think. Like, what do you do if he does come back the week after? Who do they play after Tampa Bay? I'm not even sure. Do you know? Anyway, the weekend.
I think they get the Falcons on Sunday night.
You know, whether he plays against the Bucks or the Falcons or the game after that, it's all gonna be about how Brock feels after that game. And if he doesn't feel good after that game, then to my way of thinking, we got a problem with our starting quarterback. And at that point, I'd go with Mac Jones at that point. But again, all I'm saying is I don't know what I'm saying. Hand it off 48 times a game? I'm not sure. But I just know that I want Mac Jones, when Brock Purdy takes the field, I got to have Mac Jones somehow upright. Because I'm worried about Brock Purdy if this thing is a season-long thing. That's all.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Brock Purdy than I'm worried about Mac Jones. And that might sound weird to some people because Mac has won 3 games and he's thrown for 300 yards. And he's looked really good. But I'll say this. I think the infatuation with Mac Jones, and I've fallen victim to it, it's the same infatuation people had for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's honestly how I feel, is that Jimmy G, specifically in 2017, just captured everyone's imagination by winning a lot of close games. He did have some big games also. I was looking back at some of his game logs against Tennessee, a team that won a playoff game that year. He threw for 380 and a touchdown with no interceptions. And they won by 2 points.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like the Mac Jones mania that we're experiencing right now, and admittedly, it's from a backup, is the same thing we were feeling about Jimmy Garoppolo. That's how I feel. And that's why I'm detecting a hint of, well, we got to preserve Mac because we're winning with Mac. And I think that Brock Purdy still gives this football team its highest ceiling, which is why I would rather spend my time trying to worry about keeping him healthy.
888-957-9570 is the number. How are you handling the quarterback situation this week, 49er fans? Do you feel like some people are jumping the gun with Mac Jones? And that Jimmy Garoppolo won his first 5 starts at the end of that season. And Mac Jones looks pretty good too. I don't know why. Evan, it's probably recency bias, but I feel like Mac Jones is better than Garoppolo, even though Garoppolo started out well for the Niners. But I'm willing to acknowledge that's probably recency bias and the way we think about Garoppolo and his tenure kind of looking back here. But it wasn't obviously without some great moments.
Well, in 2019, he went 13-3. Guy threw for, you know, umpteen thousand yards or whatever. And he was really good in 2019. I remember people coming off that season. And then obviously he got hurt in 2020. But going into 2021, we were having the conversation of, oh, is Jimmy Garoppolo a top 10 guy? You know, is Jimmy Garoppolo this? Is Jimmy Garoppolo that? The only thing stopping Jimmy Garoppolo is the injury bug. And by the end of his time in San Francisco, it was like, this guy stinks. I mean, seriously, like, this guy is awful. And I think that's why everyone was hoping that Matt Stafford was going to get hurt at some point this year for the Rams, because that team is, they're done. They got Jimmy as their quarterback. But you do forget that Garoppolo had some good games.
Definitely.
He had some outstanding statistical performances throughout his time in San Francisco. And Mac Jones right now is, he's playing his ass off. But the whole dink and dunk thing for me, and I know Mac has made a couple of big throws, but like against the Rams on Thursday night, he averaged 5.9 air yards per pass attempt. That's pretty Jimmy Garoppolo-esque. And Jimmy could be accurate at times. Jimmy could deliver the ball on time when he needed to. In 2017, he was playing with a bunch of nobodies. I'm just saying that I think that what Mac Jones has done should not be discounted. It's valuable for the entire picture of this season. But looking at Mac Jones as if he is the better quarterback on this football team, to me, that's some timey. Like, that is you just basically looking at these games and saying, all right, well, we have it now, so we should have it forever.
What about if I were to say, over the last year and a half, Purdy's just been okay? Would that, like, how solidified is he at the starter? Like,
I'm not saying solidified.
Okay.
But
I'm saying is, you know, he didn't have a great year last year. I'm just spitballing a lot of different things about how you'd want to handle this situation with Brock Purdy and how cautious you think you can afford to be. And again, how serious is this injury? That's the problem that we just don't know about. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't have a sense for if he needs 1 week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks. That's all.
And however long he needs, that's why you got Mac Jones.
Yep. The more you play Mac, the more you risk losing your backup, which is better than losing your starter, I guess. Orlando is in San Bruno. Hey, Orlando, how you doing?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Real quickly, regarding what you guys are talking about right now, with the toe injury, I think it's kind of like you got to treat it like a groin injury. And at this point, it's like the less of both evils, who has the highest percentage of health. That's who you go with. And then on the upsets, week five, you kind of pretty much can tell by now, in my humble opinion, who's a pretender and who's a contender. Real quickly, for example, a pretender, the Miami Dolphins. They relinquished a 17-0 lead. That's a pretender. A contender is the Denver Broncos. I couldn't believe that they came back from a three-possession deficit. And the last thing is, remember when we talked on Thursday, time of possession for the 49ers. And they did that, 40-29. It was a surprise with the fumbles that were, they were on the plus and the Rams were on the negative. Shanahan, my hat tip, my unbelievable game planning for that win, because that's how they had to win, the time of possession. And last thing, when the Niners were up 14-0, 20-7, I was just still waiting for the Rams to come back. The way the last minutes of the game was a real wonderful icing on the cake. And what a great victory for those guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Orlando. The fact that the Niners, how do you, if you do, put where the 49ers are, does 4-1 make any difference with how you handle Brock Purdy? In other words, if you were 2-3, would you make a different decision perhaps based on urgency?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
All right. So if we're subscribing to that, I think Mac Jones is going to be your quarterback Sunday.
Well, he would for me. I don't know if he is for Kyle, because Shanahan makes a choice and he sticks with it. But, I mean, to me, like, what I'm trying to avoid is the whole he plays one game, he sits one game. He plays one game, he sits one. You can't have a guy getting hurt over and over again or just re-aggravating the same injury. That's I don't think that's smart. You know, clearly Brock Purdy was not ready to return for the game against Jacksonville. I know he didn't play well, but I believe a big reason for that is because it's on his back toe. He can't push off. He already doesn't have a great arm, or certainly not like an electric elite arm. So he's throwing lollipops. He also is a mobile quarterback. That's a big part of his game. I don't think he could run as fast as he usually could. I don't know if you feel differently, but he looked different to me. I think a big reason that he stunk in that game is because he was hurt. And so he needed to sit out the next game. So if you rush him back against Tampa, you might be hurting both Brock Purdy himself and also the 49ers' chances to win that game. And that's not just unfair to Brock Steiny. To me, that's unfair to the team. Like, you also have to think about which quarterback gives the team the best chance to win, because if the team begins to believe that their quarterback, the most important position on the field, is not at 100% and is not giving you the best opportunity when there's a guy behind him that's won three games, you know, you're not going to lose the locker room, but a lot of the guys are going to be looking at their head coach like, why is Brock Purdy out there? And that's the situation I'm trying to avoid.
That's fair. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers at Tampa Bay on Sunday. Brock Purdy or Mac Jones? How are we handling it? And then what's the overall strategy that the 49ers should have? If it's all about making sure that Brock Purdy's available for the big games down the stretch and into the postseason, how careful do you have to be with him right now as we enter week six? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.